All right, cool. Are you ready?
Yes, I am.
Okay, cool. Hello and welcome, everybody. My name is Robert LaFrance. Welcome back to the LaFrance Paradigm. This is where we learn and share strategies for an impact. And if you are interested in getting into real estate investing in some form, this is an episode that you really want to pay attention to because today my co-host and guest is Sandhya, okay? And she has been in the multifamily apartment business, real estate investing game for some time, for about 20 years, according to her website. 30
3 years.
years.
Three.
Okay, that's cool. You don't have to be in something for that long for you to get the results. And that's what we really focus on here. Okay, so we're going to be able to go into that and the acquisition company that you're a part of, right? That's what I read on your website.
Yeah, I started like a small business, which is now a bigger business. It's multifamilyforyou.com. And we focus on acquiring large multifamily, at least 100 plus stores in the Dallas-Fort Worth area that are cash flowing to begin with and stabilized to qualify for agency debt, et cetera. So we try to pick the most low risk investments we can so that even in tough times, like through COVID, they perform well. And we're still able to make distributions, cash flow, and upside to our investors when we sell them.
Cash flow and upside to investors. That's what we want to hear. And to correct my mistake earlier, it says that you've been in the equities markets for over 20 years.
Yes.
Okay. And so
Yeah.
that I apologize for mixing those up, but clearly you
Yeah.
have the experience in equities and you've been around the game and now you've leveled up to the what you just described in the last 3 years. Okay.
Yep.
So your short bio here that you filled out is, I just want to add on to what you were saying, is that you started in corporate America as an electrical engineer. How long did you do that before, you committed the full time or where you're at now, or did you start investing like part time, spare time? Because an electrical engineer, that's electrical engineer, that's a career that most people, stay in because of the guarantees that it offers.
Yeah, so I loved my career in Texas Instruments as an electrical engineer. I did that for about 13 years. And during that time, I also realized that the management type of folks are making all the decisions for us. So I got a part-time MBA while going full-time at work. And that helped me understand more about how business decisions are made, how financials are calculated, how to run a P&L, profit and loss center, and also the stock market as one of the side perks. So then I started investing in the stock market quite heavily. And then once I had children, it just made sense to spend more time with them and less time with corporate America. Because at one point I was traveling to places like Taiwan and Germany and stuff at short notice. So I'd be gone 10, 12 days at a time. And I missed out on things with my kids and I didn't want that to continue. So that's when I realized, okay, a couple of hours a day trading in the stock market gives me all the financials I need. Just to stay active. And then the rest of the time was about, spending time with family. And then I came to real estate because of the tax advantages. So, and also for a way to do real estate to increase my net worth, but also in a way that I don't have to do all the day-to-day hassles that a typical landlord does, which is tenants, toilets, trash, and termites. I really wanted to avoid that. And that's why large-scale multifamily makes sense because you have the economies of scale to hire a full-time third-party property management company to run it for you. And you become an asset manager. And that's when it all made sense. And I got into this business.
Yeah, I can 100% agree and relate with that because I was in the Navy for 7 years, and the traveling in the lot, the limited control that I had on my life and my family life and the things that were important to me outside of my naval career was a hindrance. I not only did I feel like I could do it better, like I feel like I could, earn more money and create a better lifestyle than if I had committed to 20 years and retired from the military. I really want to make sure that my priorities maintain a priority and that they get the attention that they want or that they deserve. So I can totally relate with like being away from family and friends, the things that are important to you, being limited on what you're able to do based on, just doesn't matter how much money you might be making, when things are important to you, you got to make them a priority and figure something out. And I really like what you said about becoming a full-time investor in the stock market, because sometimes when I talk to people about private lending, you know, and we talk about interest rates, they're like, oh, you know, I can get a better interest rate if I just put that in the stock market. And that might be true, but, you know, there's things with the stock market, there's inconsistencies, it goes up and down, you know, especially if you're a day trader and you're on there, you got to be on there and ready to click the button if you don't have one of those third party platforms to buy and sell on, you know, at command. And so, but what you really said, that I want people to understand are the tax advantages and how real estate is such a powerful vehicle for you to earn more money. You know, the best way for you to earn more money is to pay less taxes. And that's why I'm such a big supporter and shout out, like, hey, start any type of home-based business right now, because the second you're a small business owner or a home-based business, you get to write off so much in taxes. I think the average is about $20,000 to $25,000 in taxes that you get to write off going towards your small business. So the second you want to start making more money, instead of trading, you know, time and labor or you know, trying to make more phone calls or anything like that, the first thing you can do is structure your life so you can pay less in taxes, and then structure your business in a way that you pay as little as taxes as possible so you can maximize that gain. So I really like what you said that and how it's actually carried you into large commercial multifamily assets, because I've had, you know, I started off as a real estate agent, and I'm just trying to relate here. And maybe for the new people who don't know my story, you know, when I started off as a real estate agent, commissions were good. That was really sexy and entertaining. When I transitioned out of the military, it's like, oh, wow, I can make good commissions. And then I got a couple of rental properties, and I was like dealing with tenants. And, you know, as much as they are your customer, it can also be, you know, I got better things to do than to deal with questions on tenants, toilets, and termites, you know, like you said. So it's like, how can I really free up my time? Well, capitalize on an opportunity that's going to bring me the money that I want and the freedom that I want, whether it's to spend time with my family, pick them up from school, or if I do want to have a life of luxury and travel and stay at awesome places. Okay. So I really like how you said that. A lot of people are intimidated by large commercial multifamily properties. And I'd love to hear how you handled or attacked or mitigated those risks with such a high dollar amount and the amount of doors that you have to operate in, because those are entry point or barriers to entry for new investors who are saying, listen, I understand that there's a great life that I can build in this industry of real estate, but maybe I'll tiptoe, or maybe I'll baby step up into that point until I get familiar, which is totally understandable. But maybe you can shine some light on how you got into that. I mean, from my perspective, it seems like you already had the investing perspective. You were trading. You understood, like you said, you understood profit and loss, and you're able to look at something and know when to buy and know when to sell. You can go ahead and answer.
So all of those skills that I had from my corporate life and the stock market definitely helped me a lot in terms of assessing an investment and its potential, especially in terms of what you just mentioned, which is trading your time for money. Like, I figured out how much time it would take me to do a single family rental and what the margins are. And I realized that just wasn't worth my time. I would rather just put it in a stock and go to sleep. And, you know, it automatically sells for the price I set already in the, you know, my brokerage. Versus when you get to large multifamily, the biggest barrier is usually the capital, right? Who has millions of dollars sitting around just to go and buy the apartment down the street? And that's where you realize, okay, this is the syndication method. A lot of people don't know about syndication, which involves several people like you and me pooling our money together to make that down payment on the purchase of the property. So let's say it's a $10 million property, right? You get a loan for about 80%, which is 8 million. And the remaining 2 million is what you raise from investors, like my neighbors, my friends, is where I started out initially, right? And then as the sponsor, like the person, me, who's taking on all the risk, me and a couple of other partners who are signing the loans and taking all the risk of, okay, if a tenant sues me, et cetera, they're gonna sue me. They're not gonna sue the limited partners because I'm the general partner who's taking ownership of the property and running it, right? And so for that, we do take a fee. And sometimes some groups take upfront a large acquisition fee, and we don't do that. We take our fees more in the back end and as asset management kind of fees and as a split. But overall, it's like you're paying your fund manager to choose specific number of funds for your mutual fund. It's a similar concept. You're paying me a fee for choosing the right property, taking on all the risk, and I get a split of the profits when we make money. If we don't make money, I don't get paid either. So that's a syndication model. And I learned that first through books and through a mentorship program by attending one of these weekend real estate conferences. And, you know, you can sift through all the sales pitch and you can talk to people doing it to figure out that this is ordinary real people. I mean, I drive around a 7-8 year old car. I have a couple of kids. Yeah, I have my own house, but that's about it. I'm not the one owning 5 private yachts and a home in every fancy beach on the world kind of person, right? This is your everyday people doing this business. But instead of doing a single family rental where, you know, one person doesn't pay rent, my rent goes from 100% to zero and I have to pay all the bills. Versus I have 100 doors and let's say 10% of them don't pay the bills or that's less my collections, I plan that into my underwriting. So I think with any new venture like this, the education is the big part to understand all the risks and therefore the rewards and seeing if that meets your risk profile. And once you have that, then multifamily in particular is a team sport. You could do a single family or a flip on your own, but multifamily is completely a team sport. You're never going to know everything there is to know about running a multifamily. And that's why you need a team. You know, maybe somebody in your team is an accountant. Someone in your team loves numbers, loves to underwrite. Someone else does the relationships with brokers to get awarded the deals. Someone else is a detail-oriented project manager who can take care of all of your construction projects, your rehabs, et cetera, to make money. And then another person loves to go do resident activities, bring communities together, et cetera. So at least 3 people, I think, is a good number to have in your team. That way, when you're on vacation, the others can help you. And you all complement each other's in your strengths so that your team as a whole can do a great job. And when I say team, I'm talking about the general partnership team, the team that's actually whose name is on the LLC buying this apartment, the one who's signing the loan, taking on all the risk.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, when I was going through the real estate, when I was going to my local real estate investor association to start learning about all this, because I knew when I was a real estate agent, I'm looking at the closing disclosures and I also used my VA home loan to buy real estate. So I got the general idea of what I was getting into. And that's actually why I decided to no longer practice licensed real estate, because I'm looking at the closing disclosure. I'm like, okay, I'm getting a percentage of the home's price, you know, the sale, and I'm seeing what the owners are walking away with when they sell the property. And it's pennies, you know, like it's, I've been told, you know, oh, careful what you do. You know, this model might be like stepping over dollars to pick up pennies, you know? So when you start kind of seeing how the numbers flow, it's like, okay, I need to go. If these are my goals, this is the direction that I need to go in. So I started getting that education, developing a network. And one of the biggest things that I learned too with building a team or finding people to build a team with is that the type of people, because a lot of people want to get rich quick. A lot of people want to, you know, offer value, but they're, you know, people can be so busy trying to make their come up that they can actually step over the opportunity or step over the relationships that are actually going to bring you there. And I've been one of those people, you know, especially when I was transitioning out of the military and going through my marriage issues, I was like really trying to provide and deal with all these things that were important to me. So I was like, okay, who's ready to link arms and run with me? But I think because of some of the things that I had been going through, I actually turned away opportunity more than I actually welcomed it. And that's actually one of the things that I really look at was when I go to those seminars, you know, who are the people who are serious? Who are the people who are buying and who are the people who are selling? And, you know, depending on which real estate investing association that you're at, you can see what kind of deals or business is actually happening in your local area. Okay. You know, when I was in Trigg, Tidewater Real Estate Investor Group in Hampton Roads, Virginia, you know that they're serious because they're wholesaling deals at the beginning. They're saying, okay, I got this deal for this price. Who wants it? You know, and who's doing this and who's doing that? So you can meet the players who are actually in the game and you separate the people who are tourists and just trying to learn, because a lot of people love the education train. A lot of people get locked up with analysis paralysis and just want to learn before they get that confidence to move forward. And so, you know, one of the biggest things that I learned was, you know, ignorance on fire is better than knowledge on ice. And ignorance on fire when you're a part of a team is exponential growth. You know, when you got someone who's a contractor or, you know, like you're saying, who's really good at finding the money, then you're able to conduct business on your terms and values with your team and have a lot of fun doing it too. And it's not so much work. It's just doing what's next, trusting the process, going through the negotiation deals and really mitigating your risk, you know, doing your due diligence so you can always buy right. You know, it's one thing to buy a single family and make a mistake, but it's another thing to, you know, buy a 120 door apartment building for millions of dollars and then learn along the way. You're going to learn. But when you have the, when you have, you know, 10 sets of eyes looking over everything and you got good underwriting, like you're talking about, that really lowers your chances and everything. I mean, just like the stock market, we know that investing in general, not just real estate, can be risky. And that's why we buy right. That's why we make sure we buy it with enough equity and we add value. So when you do close on it, and then depending on the terms of your lending and when you refinance, you really have that cushion and you get to grow and scale.
Very true. And also one thing about partners, I would say, is take your time and choose your partners wisely. Partnerships are everything. It's just like when you, this is like a business marriage, right? So when you date, you want to first date a lot and get to know the person really well before you marry them. So this is a business marriage, same way, take your time to get to know them. And another thing I highly recommend is maybe coming up with what we call a memo of understanding, so that we clearly know what's everybody's roles in this investment, because an apartment purchase could take you 5 years before you exit the deal. So in the next 5 years, who's gonna do what, and what are our primary roles? And therefore, how are we getting compensated within that partnership? Just be as clear as possible, because there's some people who might think everything is really glamorous at the beginning. And once the deal closes and now you're in the asset management, which is, you know, the honeymoon is over, now the reality begins in your marriage kind of state. There's some people willing to do the work and some others who are not. And you really want to spell it out so that you know that upfront. And so maybe the one who's willing to do more of the work gets a little bit more of the compensation and feels that they're doing their fair share in this project, right? So that's important. You also don't want to have everyone thinking the same way. You really want to be challenged. And so that's why I say when it's a team sport, you really have, you know, one player is your quarterback, another player is, you know, your tight end, and you have defense, right? It's just like that. You need people with different roles and different strengths who can all come in and do the part so that the team as a whole is complete and can do the job. Because if you have, let's say, as an example, I'm an engineer, and if that's all was my background and three of us are engineers, we're all going to approach the deal the same way, versus I need a business person, a marketing person. I need a, you know, a person who thinks more of the community, not just the numbers, but looks at it, says this is more than just numbers and doors, you know, kind of thing. So then you complete the picture. And that's so important when you form partnerships. And large multifamily is a team sport. And part of your team is also your third party people, your lender, your broker, your property management company needs to be aligned with what is your business plan to take over this property, et cetera. So doing upfront due diligence, doing the physical due diligence, the financial diligence, all of that upfront before you make offers on these large deals is very important. That's why I recommend training and working alongside someone else, even like you think of it as an internship phase, you know, after you've completed your test of reading the books and everything and underwriting a few deals on your own. When it involves other people's money, you want to be very, very careful with it, right? It's not like you're buying a single family on your own. Okay, a few months you go without rent. You can handle the financial risk when it's just your money. But when it's other people's money, they expect distributions on a regular basis. You want these investors to be loyal to you and come back. And this is their retirement fund. This is their college fund for that kid, you know? So you can't mess with that. So if you have no experience, and all of you as friends and team members have no experience, get a mentor, get somebody to be a consultant for you and help you through your first deal, especially with this kind of money. And, you know, in 2022, which we are here today, you know, interest rates are definitely going to go up. So anticipate if you have a bridge debt, for example, get a rate cap and assume that whatever is that highest interest rate into your underwriting, plan for a higher, what we call economic vacancy as inflation hits us, et cetera. There are so many different ways that you can underwrite something conservatively, and you want to take all those things into account before you, I guess, mess with other people's money, as I call it. And so having worked in the corporate world for a while and had to work for a living and earn this money, I know how long it took me. My first job, I earned a salary of $36,000, right? And that felt like it was very, very hard for me to save up money every year from that 36K job to finally afford to, you know, have 10K saved or 20K saved eventually many years later. Today, these kind of large multifamily deals require you to deposit like invest at least $50,000, $75,000 and up, kind of huge amounts of money. So when people trust you with huge amounts of money, you know that it took them 5-10 years sometimes to save up that money. So you want to be very careful with it. It's not the same attitude as playing with your own money. You know, it is other people's money. Take it seriously. Be very careful in your underwriting. Do a thorough due diligence. Don't assume best case scenarios, right? Everything's going to work perfectly. I'm not going to have any pipes burst in the snowstorm. There's going to be no fire. Everything's going to be perfect. My property is going to perform according to these projections given to me by the broker. Okay, really? So I'm just saying all of that is where mentorship and education comes into play. And whether that's formal or informal mentors, you know, somebody gave you, you know, helped you along the way, right? Wherever you've been successful, there's probably someone who assisted you formally or informally or in some way. So rely on that if you're trying this out for the first time. And, you know, along those lines, I would say even passive investing is very helpful. And that's how I got started is, you know, I came from the corporate world with retirement money, et cetera. And so I invested that passively in other people's deals. And I learned along the way. So passive is where you're the limited partner. You trust your money to these syndicators and you hope they do a really good job. But then I did the trust but verify model where I would go alongside with them and see what they're doing at these properties. I picked them all in my local market of Dallas where I at least know the locations. I know they picked a good suburb to buy the property and I would go visit that pretty often to see what was happening. That's how I learned it. So
a lot and of different ways too, to get you there. You get to drive by the property and you're like, oh, I own that, or I got interest in that, you know?
Yeah, I know. I own a little piece of that property.
Yeah. I'm a part of the economic growth in this area. It's really cool. And especially when you're in smaller areas, you know, and it's a small town, lower population, you have one of two apartment buildings in that area. Mm-hmm. You know, it's actually kind of, you know, it makes you proud that you are a part of a small community. And it's almost like you're playing Monopoly in real life. Mm-hmm. So you provided a bunch of gold nuggets in what you were just saying there. And one of the things that I want to shine light on is when you were talking about diversifying the personalities in your team, you know, there's a reason why employers have people fill out DISC profiles, you know, so you can see what kind of personalities you are. Because when you're a leader or manager of a team or a business and you're looking for success and growth and profit, you want to do all the things that are going to generate as much profit or success as possible. And so, like you're saying, that's diversifying the personalities in your team. You need the leader, you need the doer, you need the engineer and the people who can look at things a certain kind of way. Even having the ignorant expert in a room when you're having a meeting, it might not just be about real estate, but having somebody who knows nothing about what you're doing because you and your team have been in the box for so long, having someone just come in and be like, oh, well, what about this? They could point out something that was right in front of your face the entire time. And that's why they're called the ignorant expert. And they could point that out and really save you. So, you know, so there's that, you know, it's great to connect and vibe with everybody who's on your team, but you also want to make sure everybody's goals and priorities are aligned and you're not just in here trying to, hey, let's make a bunch of money getting into real estate. Hey, Uncle Jim, you know, you got cash, you know, I'm good for it. You know, and when you are, considering being a private money lender or an investor, passive investing into other people's deals and stuff, you can look, not only are you required by, you know, I was trained that the Security Exchange Commission, SEC, requires 3 touches in over 30 days before you can actually ask somebody for money, for them to lend you money. So there's rules out there by the federal government or the SEC, I should say, to protect your securities and your interests so you don't get taken advantage of, because obviously that's happened in the past. So you want to, like you're saying, you want to date, you want to connect with somebody who knows what they're doing. They don't have to be the expert. They don't have to be the, you know, the next Grant Cardone. They have to be someone who cares about their goals and cares about your interests, in this case, your money. And then you can develop this relationship together. And that's actually where I saw a lot of success, seeing other new real estate investors creating their dirty dozen, creating their team and building together versus trying to, you know, jump on a train that where someone might be more advanced or, you know, whatever. Mentorships are great. You want to connect with people who are experienced. You want to leverage other people's experience and their failures so you can lower your chance and increase your learning curve. So you want to really connect and build that relationship with people because, you know, even if it's a $1,000 or $1 million, you want to make sure that you trust each other and you're in good interest. And ways that you can do that are reading the company's disclosures or articles of incorporation, making sure they're a legitimate business entity before actually lending them your money. And if they don't have one in place because they are buying one in a new state and they have something under contract, making sure you understand the numbers on the deal. Is this a cash flowing property? I bought it at this percent discount. This is what we're looking at. And, you know, if everything goes bad, here's how your money is, you know, protected in these different ways, insurances in the real estate itself, you know. And so there's ways to repay that. And so you just want to make sure that all your questions are answered before you do that. You know, I just watched a video from Grant Cardone. He was telling a story about how someone lent him $20 million. And I've heard this saying, you know, the one who has the gold makes all the rules. And I believe that to an extent, because, you know, as an entrepreneur and business owner myself, I want to make sure that I'm running my business on my terms and values, and that I am working with people that I trust, and vice versa, that they trust me. And he goes on to tell this story about how he wrote him a check for 20 mil. And then this guy showed up and he's like, oh yeah, you know, I'm with this guy. I'm just, you know, here to look at all your stuff, you know. And then Graham was like, okay, cool. You know, here's my office. Here's all this, you know, take a look. After 5 hours, the guy's like, okay, cool, I'm done. And Grant handed him in an envelope. He's like, oh, what's this? He's like, oh, you know, this is for so-and-so, but you can take a look at it if you want. And he opened it. It's the check for $20 million again. And he's like, what is this? He's like, man, I don't want to work with anybody who doesn't trust me, or I don't trust, you know? So you are going to build in, and this is part of the learning curve. You got to do what's next. You got to go out there, put yourself out there, connect with the people that you can to make these deals work, but it's also on your terms. This is your business. And if you know that you're operating in an ethically, morally way, and you're looking out to make these people make a lot of money. I mean, think about what Grant or you could do with $20 million and how you could grow that significantly. You know, so you want to make sure that you're having fun and you're building good partnerships with people. Those are the few things that jumped out at me that I really wanted to touch on after what you were saying.
Yeah. And in terms of being a limited partner, which is basically what all of us are, we're all passive investors in the stock market, right? We put our money on Amazon, Apple, whatever it is, and we hope the executives running the company make good decisions so that there is an expectation in a few years or a few months, whatever that timeline is, that we make money from this investment. And in some cases, they are dividend stocks, so they make some, you know, dividends to us every quarter or something. But in the end, when we sell the security, we're hoping to make money. And just like that, instead of choosing a security, we're here buying large apartments and saying, put your money instead into an actual building you can see, touch, and feel, and compare that to your risk with the stock market. And in some cases, real estate makes more sense as part of your diversified portfolio. And again, the 506B, B like Bravo, which is what Robert was referring to earlier, it requires you to have a substantive relationship established with the sponsor. So let's say you and I meet tomorrow and I already have a deal under contract. I cannot offer that investment to you if it is a 506B investment. But if it is 506C like Charlie, which is open to accredited investors only, then I can advertise it on social media. I can send it to anyone, provided every investor who comes into the deal has proof of their accreditation status. So they have, you know, by the rules of the SEC that you can look up, what is an accredited versus non-accredited investor? There's a certain requirement for your net worth of over $1 million, excluding your primary residence, or individual making over 200K a year, or a married couple filing jointly making over 300K a year, et cetera. So that's a certification you have to get from your accountant to participate in a 506C like Charlie deal. But a 506B requires you, it's still an expectation on the part of the passive investor that they're going to make money from it. So it is involving the Securities and Exchange Commission. That is why you have to have that substantive relationship established and proven and get to know this person well. I mean, how many questions do you ask before you choose your next car or your appliance, right? How much homework do you do on those things? this is a large investment. I mean, like this is 50K, 75K and up. So you definitely want to do a lot of due diligence and homework and really get to a point where, as you mentioned in the Grant Cardone example, you trust this investor, but you also trust and verify. You are able to visit the properties or in some other way, verify, do a background check, et cetera. So I developed on my own with my experience over the last few deals that I've been involved in as a limited partner, I have a passive investor checklist that I can share. Should your listeners want to get a hold of it, they can contact me. I certainly have a profile on LinkedIn and I'm easy to find. And, you know, I have a website as well. But
yeah, we're actually going to be dropping those links down there. And I think that anybody who's interested should definitely try to get that questionnaire, you know, and you obviously have a lot of experience in this field and you're able to spit off, you know, policies, terms, you know, sections, chapters, and all that stuff. And what I want to remind people is that while this is really good to know, and you will also learn as you begin your adventure into investing in real estate, this is why we have SEC attorneys. This is why you have an accountant. This is why you have professionals in their respective fields that know the ins and outs and the changes and the updates of the regulations on your behalf. Okay. So this is, you know, this is really good food for thought, but don't get overwhelmed or focus on taking all the notes, because what, you know, it's not so much how to do something, it's who can do something for you, because the whole point of what we're talking about is leveraging systems for success. So we don't have to trade our time for money or whatever your case may be. This is figuring out and becoming resourceful. How can I accomplish XYZ goal to, you know, like I said, to my terms and values. So yeah, I definitely want that checklist.
Yeah. And sure, one of the things you mentioned reminded me of this book, Who Not How. I mean, if you haven't read that book, that's a great book to read, Who Not How. So in my case, 3 years ago, I had zero real estate background. And I jumped in with both feet and learned this business because I found the who's who are doing what I want to be doing. And I went ahead and copied exactly what they're doing. The successful ones who I want to be one day, I just followed their path. So, you know, definitely there are shortcuts because you can rely on other people's expertise and not have to learn and know everything yourself. That's why I even mentioned your partners within your dealers, your GP team, but also your third-party providers. We always use a syndication attorney for all our deals, right? For the reason that they make sure we're compliant with everything, right? And so that's a very big part of doing any new venture of this magnitude, is it's the who, not how, that matters.
That's awesome. And, you know, with you saying that you have the checklist for anybody who's interested, I mean, coming from a military background, and you're in the Dallas or Fort Worth area, and there's a huge military presence out there. And I know the veteran community is just becoming more and more interested in investing in real estate. And you know, right now, some people are like, oh, I can use my VA home loan to get, you know, a 4-unit property. But, you know, this is obviously a large scale commercial deals. And obviously with large scale commercial deals come with large scale commercial checks and income, you know? So along with the checklist, how else could you help, you know, regular people build the wealth, becoming apartment investors?
I think that being a general partner and buying these apartments yourself, instead of being a limited partner, is definitely a way to accelerate that. So once you get the knowledge and you find the partners, the biggest piece to figure out is what do you have to offer to on the table to the partnership team, right? Maybe you have the time and the effort and the, you know, you roll up your sleeves, you're the one who's going to show up to the property every time. Or you're the one with a big network of people who, you know, are high net worth from whom you can raise capital. Or maybe you're the relationship person. You're going to really have that relationship with the broker to be awarded deals. You're going to be the local expert, etc. So figure out your role and then find partnerships to fill the gaps, to build your team, and then become a general partner on a deal, because that's when you put in the time and the effort, in addition to you know, managing the property, etc., that's when you become more wealthy through real estate, because then you are the business owner. You are the person who will get the tax write-offs in a bigger way, because you'll be a qualified real estate professional as a general partner. And 2022 is the last year to get 100% bonus depreciation. So if you don't know what I'm talking about, just look up that keyword. And it's from a Trump tax law from a few years ago. And there's a lot of experts who talk about cost segregation and bonus depreciation, which is one of the biggest tax advantages to doing multifamily, more so in 2022 than ever before, because this is the last year of that. 100% bonus depreciation. So that's the way I would say is you can build wealth is lower your taxes so that every dollar you make is working for you and then get bigger returns by running the property yourself. So if you're in Dallas, there's numerous conferences and meetups around this topic. If this investment avenue sounds right for you, don't waste any time. Go learn. Go sign up for that weekend event. Go get those books. Learn it as quickly as possible so you can decide if this is right for you or not. And then you can move on to maybe something else. I mean, there's a lot of people totally into crypto. I'm still sort of on the fence. I haven't done much of it. I'm still in stocks and multifamily. And there's so much I have to learn in both these that, okay, these are my two buckets right now.
Absolutely. You know, before I talk about like the different lanes of real estate investing and you know, trying something and figuring out if it works for you, going back to the 100% tax write-offs, mm-hmm. Recently, they just allowed food and beverage to be 100% tax write-offs as well for last year, if I remember correctly, and which is another advantage of being a small business owner is that, you know, mm-hmm. if you're mm-hmm. marketing in some way and you're taking and writing off food and beverage, it's no longer a percentage. You can write off all of it as long as you can justify. And obviously your CPA or tax person will be able to help you with that and do the numbers. I mean, just like with the mileage, one of my biggest things was like, hey, Carmen, everywhere I drive is for business, mm-hmm. you know? And they're like, well, you know, just so you know, if you are always doing business, your vehicle needs to be registered under your business's name and then the taxes will be adjusted accordingly. You know, I'm like, okay, well, I guess 49% of my miles are for business, you know? So it's like, you have these conversations and what's really exciting actually is when you're building this team, it's almost like you have a board of advisors, you know, like think mm-hmm. about the big CEO that they depict mm-hmm. in movies and everything. And they're standing in front of the room and they're like, okay, where are we at? And you mm-hmm. have every professional at the team, the dirty mm-hmm. dozen, and they spit off their knowledge. So it's like, I'm really going to look up that book. I haven't read that. I was taught that from people, you know, who, not the how. So I'm definitely going to look that book up. What was I going to say? I was going to go back to something.
You were going to go back to something we said earlier regarding the who, not how, the team building, but also our main focus was how can someone who's military today find a way to accelerate building their wealth faster? And I had indicated that being a general partner was probably the quickest way over being a limited partner.
Right, right. And then, you know, you might try, this is my thought, was that, you know, you could try that and it could work out for you, or it might not be something that you want to do long term. You know, I don't know why it would or wouldn't be. That'll be up to you. But I have a friend who I go to the gym with, and I was talking to him about my goals and how we could build a potential partnership. And he's like, you know what? I used to own a couple 10 units outside mm-hmm. of these areas, and you know, or they were BC area, BCD properties. And you know, that's just not something I'm interested in anymore. You know, and I'm mm-hmm. like, you know, cash flow. You know what? And he's like, no. I'd rather be a real estate agent, buy my own deals, flip them and be in control. And that works for him. That model works for him. Mm-hmm. You know, some people only make $2,000 from a fix and flip, mm-hmm. you know, that's less than a real estate commission sometimes. And then, you know, I see the big, you know, we see the bigger numbers in large scale multifamilies, and that's exciting, but you know, it all just depends on what it is that you want and your priorities and what your business model is. So the idea is to get your toe in the water, start connecting with people and see which way you can and leverage it and work for you. And so while we're talking about, you know, newly getting in there and developing the partnerships and starting on your own and building your team, you know, what small daily or weekly habits that do you do that help your business, personal and professional or financial success?
Well, at least on a weekly basis, I get organized and I say, before Friday comes, I should finish these three tasks. And then I figure out those three tasks, when can I do them, right? Like, this is an important milestone. The lender needs this as an example, but I need to go get with these two different people before I can get that answer to the lender as an example. Again, to chunk those times, to time block is huge. Then I time block, for example, in my case, when school starts for my kiddo, I got to pick up my kiddo at certain times. So that time is blocked off. So I try whenever my kid comes from school to spend those next couple of hours with him before I say, okay, it's dinner. Then I may log back on after 8 p.m., but it's only after I've had that quality time with my kiddo. So time block helps me really make sure the big rocks, so to speak, in Stephen Covey's words, you know, first things first. The big things get done first for the week, and I don't miss those things because I know how stressful it would be on a Friday afternoon if those three big milestones are still waiting to be done because I ignored them and I took care of the little pebbles, you know, all the day-to-day, you know, surprises that tell you, okay, you got to do this, you got to drop everything and get to this. Well, if I didn't time block those times, my important stuff isn't getting done. And it leads to a lot of stress.
Absolutely. You know, we're talking about business and mm-hmm. building wealth and our experiences and being with employers and military and stuff like that. I just want to shine light on, like, we're doing a podcast right now. We're talking mm-hmm. about buying real estate. And mm-hmm. my friend actually texted me this morning. He's like, oh, you working today? And I was like, yeah, if you call looking for real estate to buy and recording a mm-hmm. podcast, working, you know, mm-hmm. or like I'm out here homing, doing laundry for my girl and everything like that. Like, it's a different thing. And it's actually freeing, you know, because mm-hmm. when you make this switch, mm-hmm. it's no longer work. It's no longer, man, I got to get this to get this result. You're like, oh, wow, my time is my own. I'm actually mm-hmm. being able to enjoy and be in the present moment and do what's next. Like you're talking about, I do the same thing, three major things I got to accomplish this week. And then the three things I got to get done today. And then mm-hmm. I'm not overwhelmed from a to-do list. And then I'm not disappointed of not having to get, you know, or not doing everything that's on my to-do list, you know? Mm-hmm. So it really breaks it down into bite-sized pieces that is really good for me and my mental health without being overwhelmed and trying to accomplish a million things before the end of the day and be like, oh, I got to get this done tomorrow. You know, yeah, so it really keeps me in a good mindset and a good lane to moving forward. You know, so
sometimes you have this really big task in front of you and you're afraid to even touch it because, oh, that's going to be so hard. I know how hard it's going to be. So don't procrastinate. Instead, say, okay, I'm going to put my feet up. I'm going to sit in front of the couch, but I'm going to take this task and just going to break it down. I'm not actually going to do anything with it right now, but I'm going to take this task and break down the 10 steps that it takes to finish this task. And that's all I'm going to do. And I'm going to plan out the steps in terms of this one requires somebody else, or this one can only be done during the day because it involves banks or et cetera, et cetera. And all I'm going to do is break it down. I'm not going to actually do even step one, but just that taking it off your head, putting it down on paper or on your phone as notes helps so much break that task down. And then it's sort of like, all right, I'll just do a step one today and forget about it. And before you know it, you know, you've progressed far enough to where this big beast, this mountain in front of you is already broken down into little things. So that's another technique that helps me a lot is I'll just reward myself at the end of it with something, either a favorite movie, a song, something, you know. I'll just give myself my 80s song and say, hey, family, today, I'm sorry, but you got to listen to a few 80s songs. This is what I need to get through this really painful chore today.
Yeah, I got to do that about my tax receipts are like, uh-huh. even though it's just organizing my tax receipts and sending it, like even when mm-hmm. I use Expensify, you know, to like mm-hmm. create everything and send it out. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like a year long process that I dread and I just like, and I could probably mm-hmm. bang it out in an afternoon, but for some reason, something inside of me is just like, oh, you know, like mm-hmm. you can't love everything about being mm-hmm. in business. And, you know, especially when you start, mm-hmm. especially when you start acquiring a lot of assets, you know, it transitions from, oh, I'm on my computer and I'm looking up a lot of properties to buy to like, okay, now I'm responsible for picking up checks, for example. And then I got to go to this place. Like if you ever look at Animal Kingdom, which is based around thieves and how they launder mm-hmm. their money, it's not so much on just stealing the money and then keeping the money. They got to have their money work for them. They got to launder it. And then they go through this process of like, hey, I got to own real estate. I got to own different business ventures and I got to make sure I pay myself. It's actually kind of funny and not to, you know, talk about money laundering, but when you learn how to leverage a business entity and create multiple businesses and then service each other's businesses ethically and morally, according to your attorneys and your accountants, you know, guidance, it's actually pretty interesting because, you know, there's ways to make a lot of money when you get to that point, you know? So I want to go back to the last 12 months in your business. Okay. Mm-hmm. I think you might've already answered this, but what were those biggest needle movers that really impacted your business over this last year, being that you've been focusing on this specialty for the last three?
Okay, I'll answer that real quick on your whole receipts thing for taxes. I break it down into categories and each day I only do one. So today I'm only gonna do my travel receipts. Tomorrow I'm only gonna do my restaurant receipts. And in about 2 weeks, I'm done with all of it. But as far as the biggest needle movers this year, I think it's the first thing for me is mindset. And if any of you follow Tony Robbins, one of the things he says is, how do you get into a peak state very quickly? So I play a really upbeat song, keep jumping like crazy. If any of you have been to Tony Robbins events, you know what I'm talking about. It's like, you know, unleash your power within kind of things. And you get yourself into a peak state, and that makes a very big difference for mindset. So no matter how negative the last email was, it gave you bad news, you can still get yourself and say, all right, life hands you lemons, you have to make lemonade kind of thing. So mindset made all the difference, because until then I had only done smaller deals in my mind. And so I got into a larger and newer properties just by saying, why not me? Why does it always have to be that mentor or that sponsor I looked up to? I'm the lead now. So I saw myself as a lead. I went to brokers. I spoke with confidence. They're like, oh yeah, Sandy, I know you can do that. And so, and that's how I accomplished bigger goals and bigger tasks this year compared to the past. It has everything to do with your mindset, saying I'm ready and having that confidence and very honestly listing what your gaps are and finding partners who can fill that so that you're not waiting forever to be perfect. Who says perfect, right? Who's ever going to be perfect? So don't wait to be perfect until the perfect time for everything, or let fear stop you from taking that next step. So mindset is everything.
Yeah, you know, changing your physiology is huge. You know, that's that's what you're talking about. And that's what Tony Till goes into, is changing your physiology to get in that peak state. And, you know, sometimes that's standing like Superman or woman, putting your feet up on the desk, taking, you know, deep breaths for 2 minutes, thinking about those top three things that you got to do so you can really hone in on the story that you're telling yourself, because it's the mindset. And I really felt when you said, I'm the lead now, you sat up and forward, you looked in the camera. It almost reminded me of that movie with Tom Hanks. He's like, look at me, I'm the captain now, you know? So, those are huge things, you know. And for me, when I'm trying to, when I was trying to transition from one career to another, when the mindset was the biggest thing, going, you know, going from the military mindset and mentality, like, yeah, I understand having systems will get me the results and, you know, massive action will get me there. But also the mindset is so many different things. You know, if you're always thinking that you could do better in a negative way where it's degrading or limiting beliefs, that's not going to help you. Even though you can take all the massive action, you'll still get the results. I can get results by banging my head against the wall. But when you figure out the key things and you unlock, you know, Da Vinci's code for you to really enjoy being in the present moment, where you can give every area of your life the attention it deserves, whether it's your family or your business, then you really get to see those results. And it's almost like, you know, the universe or God is leading you there, you know, God kisses or something like that.
Yeah. And I would say another thing is, you know, forget all the people who are not supporting your mission, right? You got to get rid of all the naysayers to make room for the people who are going to help you get to that next level. It doesn't mean you can't disown that cousin who's negative about your business, but you can spend less time talking to them and certainly less time talking to them about your business. And so instead, surround yourself with people who are going to help you, give you the connections, give you the knowledge and the network to make that next step. And success leaves clues. So copy the people who are successful doing what you want to be doing. So surround yourself only with people who are successful in this. Like, would you take advice on weight loss from somebody who's obviously looking obese, right? It's the same concept, right? It's the same thing. Like, go after somebody who's done what you want to do and make them your mentors and get all the negative people out, because then, you know, that leaves room for all the positivity in your life. And that really propels you forward.
And it, you know, for me, my experience was, you know, it was, I was scared, you know, I found myself, I'm looking around, I'm like, wow, this is actually scary. I feel like I belong. I'm getting results. I feel this electric connection between all of us. And this is too good to be true, because, you know, based on my background, my upbringing, my previous experiences, just like all of us, we all base and receive the information that we get based on the experiences that we've had, and that's, and how we interpret them and move forward. Or, you know, the results that we get moving forward. And so my first time when I was like, wow, I'm like amongst a really good group of people, we're on the same mission and moving forward, and I know that we're going to get results, I got scared of success. I had fear of success and of it actually working, because everything I know up to that point was like I mentioned earlier, banging my head against the wall, feeling like I was by myself and I was still getting results. But like, you know, and when you want to go fast, you can go, you know, alone. But when you want to go further or longer, you know, the saying, it's better to go together, link arms and go together. And it's actually really reassuring. And it takes a lot of weight off of your shoulders when you have that team and that group and that network that gives you that support and has your back. You know, so I really like what you said there.
The last thing I would want to add to that is just clarity. is what is your version of success, right? And for me, that was freedom of time. Freedom to not have a corporate job tell me that I have to stay at work late tonight and then go out with clients for dinner, right? It's I pick. Do I want to attend that meetup in the evening or not? I get to choose that. Do I pick up my son from school at 3:30? Yes, I get to choose that. So for me, time freedom was more important than buying a red Ferrari. Because I mean, what am I going to do with a red Ferrari? I might love driving it one day, but half the roads have such big slopes that it's going to hit it and it's going to get its first ding and I'm going to be devastated. And I cannot take it to any of my properties. It cannot really haul much stuff. So it doesn't fit my lifestyle at all. So if a red Ferrari is what I really wanted, I would rent it for a weekend, get it out of my system. But the rest of the day, I'm going to be driving my old mama car because it takes me to all the places and does everything. And I don't worry about dings. So, you know, what is your definition of success? Do not worry about the guy next door buying his red Ferraris because that could be his goal. And that has nothing to do with yours.
Absolutely. I completely agree with that. Yeah. I, you know, the second I would buy, I can see myself now. I mean, especially living in Connecticut, I have some really nice roads that I can drive in, but then there are really big potholes and bumps. Mm-hmm. And what am I going to do with those? You know, my fiance has a Honda Fit and we bent our rim, you know, like imagine having a Ferrari or some luxury car with performance wheels. It's like, you know, it's going to be a lot more expensive. So my last question that I have for you, because we, you know, it's 2022. Yes, it's the beginning, but we're also coming out of the COVID-19 pandemic, quarantine, a lot of updates across the nation. You know, how has COVID affected you and your business? And, you know, did you see an impact on the assets that you did own during that time?
COVID actually did not have a bad effect at all on my business. March 2020, when it hit, we were all in fear. We did a freeze on all our capital spending, and we were very closely monitoring who was able to pay rent, et cetera. And surprisingly, at my properties, we did extremely well through COVID. And that's because we had built these community programs and relationships. So every resident who couldn't pay was able to come forward, talk to us, et cetera. We were able to find local and state resources to help pay their rent. So my delinquency was super low. We ended up selling our first deal. I acquired it in August of 2019. We sold it in November 2021. So the bulk of the period I was holding it was through COVID. And we ended up like actually tripling our investors' money, which is kind of insane when you think about real estate, right? You don't see results like that typically. So of course, the cap rate compression definitely was a piece of it. But another piece of it was we didn't suffer as much through COVID. So I am super grateful that I picked this asset class instead of what if I had chosen hotels, you know, what if I had chosen retail, right? Those all took a big hit, the travel industry, et cetera. So I'm really grateful that we picked something that is a necessity for all of us, right? Which is shelter. Everyone needs a place to live. Single home family prices are going up like crazy now. Most people can't afford it. So you're gonna have more and more renters. The supply is now constricted. So the demand is really high if you pick the right market. So good old Dallas, Phoenix, Atlanta, you know, Carolinas, certain parts of Florida, they're all saw this boom. So in the last 2 years, unless the assets were managed very poorly across the board on my GP deals where I run the properties, as well as the deals where I'm invested passively with other sponsors, the apartments, Class B and Class C apartments have done really well. So I'm very grateful for that.
That's perfect. I think that should provide a lot of some reassurance for the listeners out there because, you know, real estate can be risky. We're talking about, you know, homes going up and rent going up and the interest rates going up. And, you know, when, especially when you don't know all the things and we're not super involved, you know, fear can be a limiting factor. So mm-hmm. to hear another success story where you, you know, were recently new in this type of industry, right as a pandemic was hitting and you were still able to profit from it while you were learning and help you in this position now. And it really drives home the point of, you know, the things that I preach of like, you know, hey, what if something happens? It's great to have a couple, rental properties, even if it is single family, because yes, there are risks that we've discussed over it. You know, when I had my two rentals during my divorce and separation, those really helped me go through when I was going through all of my changes. You know, so like when I was able to sell that, my second rental that I got was I got subject to the existing financing. So I cash flowed over the 3 years. I sold it. I made about 50 grand and that really helped me pay off my truck and everything, get me housing. And, you know, My tenants were going through some issues too, but because of like the forbearance and the opportunities mm-hmm. that my banks were giving me, I could really mm-hmm. leverage the resources and take advantage of the opportunity to keep me afloat versus being another statistic, you know, being homeless or going through some really mm-hmm. bad thing that could impact myself and my health and my family. I'm really happy to hear your success story. So where can people get a hold of you, find more information about what you're doing, and you know, grow this network?
They're welcome to visit my website. It's multifamilyforyou.com, where it's multifamily number 4YOU spelled out .com. And they can put their name, email address, and a short message if they want my checklist or anything else. They're welcome to do that. Also, I'm available on LinkedIn. That's a great platform to connect. So just look for me in either of those places. And I look forward to helping others see the benefits of real estate like I have.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Sandhya, for being on here and booking this appointment and doing this podcast. It's great to see that systems work. You know, it's mm-hmm. great to see that you can build relationships and spread the good word out and share your success story. I'm sorry. And we will definitely be adding those links, your LinkedIn, your multifamilyforyou.com down below. And obviously, if you're on a platform where these links are available, then listen again, check them out. It's real simple. Multifamilyforyou.com. She's also on LinkedIn. And is there anything else that you want to say before we take off?
I just, again, want to repeat, mindset and persistence is everything. So discard all the naysayers in your life and continue with what makes sense for you as a goal, and a red Ferrari may not be it. So, right. And that's okay. Oh,
absolutely. Yeah. And think about think about what you could do with the cash it would require to rent or buy a Ferrari, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. So think about what you could do with that. You know, something else that I want to bring up is that it's not always, like you're saying, you know, the luxuries and the materialistic things are mm-hmm. what they are. Mm-hmm. You know, I know people who have obtained wealth and they've opened up homeless shelters in mm-hmm. different cities, you know, so it's yep. not just so much about like what you need or what your family needs. You could take care of your family for whatever income that requires, but then think about what you can do for the world in your country mm-hmm. and your community if you apply that to those areas, you know, like taking care of the earth, removing plastic from the ocean, you know, like carbon emissions. I'm not going to go mm-hmm. into it, but you could do a lot of things for your causes and your communities if you leverage the right systems. Okay. So thank you so much for listening. My name is Robert LaFrance, and I've had my guest Sandhya today. We've been talking about large scale commercial multifamily investing. They say that the rising tide lifts all ships and courage is contagious. So help us help you help your friends. If you're not already subscribed, make sure you hit the subscribe button, hit the icon, the bell notification to make sure you get notified every time we release a new episode, and drop a comment wherever you are, what you learned from today's episode. So when people come and look at this episode, they can see what they're getting into, and they can either learn the golden nuggets that you picked up so we can expedite everybody's learning. Like I said, the rising tide lifts all ships. And then maybe they'll be able to take on more because they're not just listening from a fresh mind. They're like, oh, wow, this one's really packed with value. This person's talking about the areas that I connect and resonate with the most, you know? So thank you so much for listening, everybody. I look forward to releasing this and getting to know more of your story and sharing more of mine. And Sandhya, let's check in a little bit and see how you've progressed and where you are in your real estate investing later on. Okay.
Thank you so much. What an honor to be here. I appreciate you, Robert.
All right. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Yeah.